as we enter your word this morning, we do not enter in presumptuously, but we enter in reverentially, being fully conscious of our human ability, our human limitations rather, Father, to deliver and to receive the infinite wisdom compressed in your written word. And therefore we need your help. We ask that you come and help us. In particular, anoint me afresh that I will speak as I should as an oracle of God. Put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me, those who are here physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically. This word will have free course from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including mine, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to become more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray as I speak that the power of the Spirit of God be released in more than sufficient measure to follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men, so that indeed they will become doers of the things which they hear. And on hearers only, we further pray for mercy, to be faithful as I deliver the word. God, that I will do it with precision. Redeem the time and say only what you want me to say. Bringing out of the treasure of this word, things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And everybody in agreement with that prayer, receiving the blessing in their individual life, said, we continue our study this morning in James chapter 1. In my last lesson, we stopped, I believe it was verse 15. Verses 13 to 15 gave us the mechanics, the mechanism of the law of the spirit of life. Sorry, of the law of sin and death in Christ, not in Christ Jesus, the law of sin and death, which says that when the essence of what James, the Holy Spirit, was saying to us through James is, look, when sin comes and bad things happen, don't say it's God. We're going to talk more about that later today, you know, in this Bible study. Don't say it's God. It's a big error to say it's God. It says when it happens, what happens is that, you know, you're drawn away of your own lust. And then lust, when it conceives, it gives rise to sin. Then sin, when it's finished, gives rise to death. So you've got a three sequence operation here. You've got lust. Lust is simply a desire inconsistent with the will of God. And it actually comes from Satan. The Bible tells us, reveals this to us in Ephesians chapter 2. It says, the prince of the power of the air, you know, working the children of disobedience in the lusts of the flesh and of the mind. So there's not even only a lust of the flesh, it's a lust of the mind. Even the mind has desires that are contrary to the will of God. That's why the Bible calls the carnal mind in enmity against God. Many of the things you desire, that we desire in our will and in our mind, is not from God. That's why you need the mind transformed. You know, so, you know, it comes from the air, it impinges or is incident on the mind, the will, the emotions, and the flesh. Then those wrong desires now flare up. When they flare up, if you don't do anything about them and you act upon them and they become sin, then sin, when you've done it, it creates a block between you and God, which is death, or let's say temporary spiritual death, because it creates a block. Now, the good news is that the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets us free from that. So, even when the law of sin and death has taken place, you can activate the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. How? Confess your sin. When you confess your sin, the blood of Jesus Christ goes in and removes the death that has been set by the law of sin and death. That's number one. Then number two, it gives you life. So that's why we say, Father, we confess our sins. Well, they're not mechanical things. You have to do it with faith and understanding. In Jesus' name, we have life. The cleansing of the sin by the blood of Jesus is what opens the door for the life to flow. If the sin is still there, if you say, yes, I have life, and the sin is still there, it will block it. Either it won't flow at all, or it will flow in a trickle. In a very small measure, which is what is happening to majority of Christians. That is why so many of us behave like the devil rather than like God.
We have a life of God, but we don't have it in sufficient measure. So the sin nature dominates more in the soul and in the flesh than the divine nature. So we are born again on the inside, but the nature of God is locked up in our spirits. And the nature, the sin nature in the soul and body are more prevalent on the outside. And so people say, don't mind him. He says he's a born again Christian. Look at how he's behaving. Well, he is born again. He's just that. Sadly, he's not been taught, or he's been taught and he's not practicing it, how to operate the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And when you don't operate it efficiently, that's what you get. You get this carnal Christianity, which is so prevalent and so common in the church today. But the good news, we're talking about good news, the gospel is good news. The good news is that this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will confess your sins. The blood of Jesus will cleanse the death, the sin, you know, removed so that life is restored. Then life flows. Then, this is very important. And many Christians, this is another thing that is obscure. We know it, but we don't know it clearly. Life is now converted to power. That's where praying, confession of the word, praying in tongues and groaning come in. Because what happens is the life of God that flows into the heart is now converted through the confession of the word of God, through praying in tongues, through groaning and travail. It's now converted to dunamis. So it goes from zoe, which is the life of God. That's the Greek word for the life of God. And then it's now converted to dunamis. And that dunamis, that power, now goes into the mind, the will, the emotions, into the flesh, you know, and makes you behave like God. The Bible calls the power of godliness, the power of godlikeness. And that's why the Bible says in Timothy, that same scripture, you know, I've just quoted from, he says that, you know, there are those who profess God but deny the power thereof. Now, you could write that to half the church. Correction, 90%. They profess, you know, he says, but they deny the power thereof. You know, they say, I'm born again, I'm child of God. But you can't see, you see, when we talk about the power of God, we're not talking about healing and deliverance and breakthrough and all of that. We're talking about the power to be like God. Amen. That's why it's called the power of godliness. I taught this many years ago, you know, dunamis is power. Just like in the natural, you know, if you take diesel is like the zoe, you put in the generator, that generator will produce electrical power, which we're enjoying now, all right? But watch this, if you put the diesel in a car, you not only get electrical power, you get mechanical power. That causes the car to move fast. Okay, so it's the same diesel, but when you convert it to power, it now does different things. When you take the life of God and you pray, that's why you have to pray in the spirit with different kinds of prayer. So when you do it, what happens? And that's why you state what you want at the beginning of the prayer. That will now license the Holy Spirit and the angels to convert that life to the power you asked for. Not just any power. So where there's the power of godliness, then there's the power of healing, there's the power of deliverance, there's the power to get wealth. Same power, same God, but in different departments. So you take the life of God, you use the blood to remove the sin and the death. You get life. That's why it's called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's got life. There's an aspect of the law that deals with life. There's an aspect of the law that deals with the Spirit. And of course, it's in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus and his blood is what cleanses you, that makes the life available. So the good news is this, you can use and you should use the law of the Spirit of life, watch this, to overcome the law of sin and death when it occurs. So when you sin, don't just sit down there and start feeling sorry for yourself and crying and misbehaving all over the whole place. Get up, use the law of the Spirit of life and get out of it. The law of the Spirit of life will reverse the effect of the law of sin and death. That is why the scripture says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Why? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. If you know how to operate it. If you operate it diligently, you cannot understand why I should pray, you know, once every 6 hours. What are you doing? You're activating the law. Now, better news. I've given you good news, but I'm going to give you better news. If you activate and you use the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus constantly, the law of sin and death won't even be able to operate. You can block it. So instead of getting the law of spirit, sin and death operating, and you now clean it and then you now reverse it, you can get to a place where, because you constantly apply the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of sin and death operates less and less until you get to zero sin rate. That's the goal. You can get to a place where, you know, you can reduce. So the law of sin and death, you know, becomes less and less and less operational and active in your life. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus isn't just a law to overcome the law of sin and death. It's also a law to prevent the law of sin and death. It will overcome it when it happens. Then if you operate it properly, it will prevent it from happening at all. And that's where we're going. Hallelujah. Thank God, Pastor G, things are getting clearer. You know, that tells us we're near the day. The Bible says, the path of righteousness is a shining light that shows brighter and brighter. I've never preached that this before. I mean, I've said it in so many ways over the years, but to bring it together, it not only prevents the law of sin and death, it not only overcomes the law of sin, but it can prevent it. So it won't even happen. In other words, let's paraphrase it another way. If you use the law of sin and if you lose the law of spirit of life constantly and efficiently, and the Bible has not left us in darkness, it says we should do it at least every six hours and at every opportunity. I preached that about 3 years ago when I was talking about Elisha's arrows. Elisha's arrows is the type. You know, that's why he told the guy, he hit it 3 times. The prophet was angry. He was like, what do you mean? He said, you should have done it. Look, watch this, 5 or 6. There's a specific number that was given. It wasn't left to our imagination. Why 5 or 6? Because 4 gives you every 6 hours, then 5 or 6 at every opportunity, and then it can even be more. Why stop at 6? So what I teach, which is the correct thing, is as often as you can. That's why it's at every opportunity you have, use it. Every time the Holy Spirit quickens you and you remember, you know why? Something is coming. Because if you use it before the thing comes, the power to overcome the temptation when it comes already there, you won't sin. If you wait and you don't use it, you will sin. You can still reverse it using the law of spirit of life, but it's less efficient. So why allow it? So if you use the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus efficiently, consistently, you will constantly prevent the law of sin and death from taking place, and gradually you come to a place of zero sin rate. No, you don't sin at all. You know, not having understood it now, Pastor G, you know, you cannot see that God is right. And he didn't lie to us. He told us 2 things. He said his commandments are not grievous. You see, but there's a wisdom of how to do it. He didn't lie to us. He not only that, he also said, he that is born of God overcometh the world. What is the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So, and he now told you how to do it. He said, and this is the victory that even our faith. Faith in what? The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But if you don't put all of the things together, you don't be reading those scriptures in isolated ways. And that's what epignosis is all about. This is complete exact knowledge where you bring the whole thing together and it's not clear. Are you listening to me? And never, thank God for E.W. Kenyon. I read this first in his book in 1980 as a young Christian. Of course, I didn't have all the knowledge I have now. I didn't know how to put it, but I believed it. There's a book, there's one of his books called The Hidden Man of the Heart. It's, if I had my way, it would be compulsory reading. Sadly, I don't have my way. Yet. The day will come. And it's not far off. Amen. Where I'll tell the whole church, you can't read this and they'll do it. But at least I have my way here. Compulsory reading. It's available. It's on the website. It's just Googled. There's a website. You can download the digital version. You know, you pay $10. You know, $10. You know, it's very cheap. You know, you spend more stupid things. God forgive you. Eh? Amen. Eh, you spend more. Don't let me see what you spend it on. You know, on silly things. You know, pizza and all of that. You know, $1 is just about 200 and something naira. Amen. So $10 is about 2,000. You spend more on stupid things. Hello? Hello? Go get the book. It's one of the chapters, I don't remember which chapter. It's called Exact Knowledge. He wrote over 100 years ago. And you know what? Well, you know what Kenyon said? He said, watch this. He said, we believe this knowledge is in the Word. We don't know it yet. He said, but we believe because the Bible. You know why? He believed the Bible. Because the Greek word epignosis is exact knowledge. He said, we believe that this Word, this knowledge is inside the Word, where we can have the exact knowledge of the Son of God and grow into the measure. Ephesians 4, it says that we may come, he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come unto the knowledge. That word knowledge there is epignosis. Unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness. So E.W. Kenyon said, we believe that this exact knowledge is inside the Word. And that as we study and all that, we'll come to that knowledge. And I believe that there's a generation, in another place he quoted that before the Jesus returns, there will be a company of his people who will get this exact knowledge. That's what we, by the grace of God, are experiencing now. It took us 100 years to get here. But thank God. Amen. I'm talking about that in my main message today. Thank God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So this is how it works. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will set you free. I just got a text. And keep you free. Not only will it set you free, it will keep you free of the law of sin and death. And when you get there, you keep doing it. After a while, it gets zero sin. You get used to it. You know, all these things we are talking about now that looks like a big thing to us, it's going to be common knowledge. Just in a few years down the road, amen. The average Christian will be walking in zero sin rate. Amen. You know, the reason why it looks so big to you now is because it's so uncommon and nobody's doing it. It's like tongues was 100 years ago. 100 years ago, tongues was nobody was speaking at anybody. We went to 2015, you know. Well, over 100 years ago, by 1915, people said, "I get it," you know. But you know, 100 years ago, over 100 years ago, 1890 something, no, nobody was speaking in tongues. If somebody had told them then that the day is going to come where everybody will just be speaking in tongues all over, they'll say, "Ah," but it happens. So just watch this. Just like Pentecost became common, tabernacles will become common. Give the Lord a glory. Just like Pentecost has become common, so tabernacles will become common. Perfection will become common. Glory will become common. Zero sin rate will become common. It will be normal. When you are sinning, people will say, "What's wrong with you?" You become a peculiarity in the church. Because it will have become a glorious church, not having spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. Because they have learned how to operate the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Does not only sets them free, but keeps them free. So by that consistent operation, he says that he might cleanse and sanctify with the washing water by the word. A glorious church. So it's not some pie in the sky thing. It's reality. It's right here with us. It's right here. And you're privileged to be first of first fruits. You better don't lose your position. Let it not be said of you that the first became last. Thank God he didn't say all. He just said some. So you don't have to be part of the some. Free of charge. I just dropped that for you. Hello, somebody. Okay, so that's what we saw in our last lesson. So, now, verse 16. Let's move on today. Of James. Do not err! I didn't hear you this morning. My beloved brethren. Next verse, verse 17. We're going to take it together. Every good gift. There's a reason why he's saying this. We're going to get it in a minute. Every good gift. And every perfect gift is where? From above. And cometh down from who? The Father of lights, with whom there is what? No what? Variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now take the two scriptures, the three. Because you have to go up to where we came from. Where he says, you know, let no man say. That's the context. Don't let anybody say. When he's tempted of God. For God is not tempted with evil. Then I says, don't err. You know what the error is? Saying God brought evil. Amen. That's the error. Then that's why he now went to say, every good and every perfect comes from the Father. And he doesn't change. He doesn't do good today and evil tomorrow. Amen. That's why there is no variableness. Neither shadow of turning in him. If he doesn't tempt with evil yesterday, he does not tempt with evil today, and he will not tempt with evil tomorrow. The only thing God does is good. Hey, Pastor, you don't haven't read your Bible properly. Don't you know the Bible says that in Isaiah 45 that I may make good and create evil? I want to destroy all those strongholds this morning. I know the Bible says that. But you have to go and read the original Greek and Hebrew and the Aramaic. You know, that is why the scripture says the letter kills. That's why the letter of scripture will kill you if you don't have the Holy Spirit to give you the mind of God behind the scripture, which is what we call the Spirit. Many scriptures, many Christians, all they have is a letter. The letter will kill you. Do you understand? Because the Spirit is what the Holy Spirit had at the back of his mind. That is very important that you grasp. That is why another scripture, and this is a powerful scripture, take it as a warning. Don't be negative about it, but take it as a warning. He says, as they do the other scriptures with the rest to their own destruction. You see, you can take the Bible and rest it, misinterpret it to your own destruction. That is why, two things. One, you need to read the whole Bible. You can't read selective. It's like, you remember when in university, people used to palm. Our boys, I did it a little myself, then I repented quick. You know, you play all time, go to parties, watch football. Pastor G is laughing. In those days it was KS. We'll go to KS, we'll go and have dinner, we'll go and watch a film. Or we'll have about 20 of us be strolling back around 11 o'clock at night from Total Garden. You know, a bunch of UI boys, you know, our friends in medical school, they will stop in UCH and branch. We'll all buy suya at a Total Garden. The Hausa men knew us. We were their regular customers. We could buy maybe up to 20 naira. Not that 20 naira was a lot of money. You know, what of suya, give everybody, even the ones you don't know. All of you know, it used to be so different in those days. You know, I will all be gisting and all whiling away the time until I got the reference. Boys, you know, we all be enjoying ourselves. Then when exam comes, you don't, your palm, you say, Go and check last year's paper, the year, 2 years' paper. Okay, I'll prepare number 1, number 4,
Number five, ajadi. In our language, that means it will come out in the exam. So we will now palm. We'll read everything. Because we were strolling and gisting. Then the exam came and the permutation will fail. The man will just change everything that year. He say, yay! You can't answer number one. You can't answer number two. Because you didn't even read it at all. The only thing you can just do is number three and number, a little bit of number five and number five. True story, I got 32%. I was in part one. 32% in a maths course, analysis. I still remember. I can't forget. I had never failed in my life before. I mean, I came from secondary school. I had grade one distinction. You know, this saying among the Arab people is, you have not been to another guy's farm, you would think your father's farm is the biggest one. Well, then I got to UI, you know, I didn't know anything. When I was in secondary school, I thought I was very brilliant. And I was very good. When I got to UI, in my prelim class, they take 300 out of 30,000. The best 300 in Nigeria. To enter UI in those days, they had their own concern. What do I like to do? I think they've changed it back now. You have your own concessional exam. You know, it's not just this Dubai. There was no jam. Nothing was jamming. It was the very best. And my result was one of the worst in my class. I didn't used to tell people what I got. You know, what did you get? I got grade one distinction. Oh, you agree? I'm not worried. I got grade 12. In my class, 6, 7, 6, 7, 6, 7, 8, 6, 7, 8, 6. Seven. Government College Umahia. Government College Ugeli. Government College Afikbo. Government College, you know, Ibadan. Come out. Ah! I said, yeah. I thank God for it too. It humbled me. You know, because I would have gone in there proud. I did. You know, thinking I was something I was not. And then I pumped and got reference. Bats! And hey, my eye opened. Nobody told me the next year. I still went out, but not like before. And I stopped palming. I would read everything. It takes time. Let me, for you young people, you know, and I'm commanding you, this is not a suggestion, you will get first class. Amen. I'm going to say amen. Amen. You know, it was the parents who said the amen. The children did not say the amen. It is not impossible to get, but there's a price to pay. I paid it too. As a young boy, I just, when my eye opened, I said, no more palming. I have to read everything. So you know what I did? When I entered part two was my second year. You know, although it was UI, it was continuous assessment, but I was, by the grace of God, able to quickly catch up. You know, every day, whatever I'm taught, I read it that day. I never postponed anything. My tutorials, I'll do it. When I finish classes, I used to, sometimes if I have practicals, I'll finish around 6 in the evening. I go and eat in postgraduate hall. I was in Sultanpilo. The minute I get back, I lock my door. It doesn't matter what is happening. How many people know what is happening? I don't listen to anybody. I put my headphones on. I'm listening to classical music, Tchaikovsky and Beethoven. You know, that doesn't disturb my concentration. I don't listen to Bob Marley and all that. Those ones, you can't read with that one. I'm telling you what I used to do. You know, then I will read. I will start around 6. I will read until about 10:30. Finish everything for that day. Check all the references. If I need to go and get a book, I can get it. You know, it's not like today where there's internet. With internet now, it's even easier. You know, there was no internet or anything like that. You know, but we would, you know, put everything together. I did every day, Monday to Friday. And even Saturday, I would still read. Then, when it's around 11, I will now come out and say, hey, boys, what's happening? And then, we are going to this party. I say, let's go, let's go. When my results came out and I got a first class, one of my close friends said, "Oh, that's wow." One of my close friends said, "Ah, you know, you are deceiving us. So you are hot like this. I used to read. You'll be going to party with us." I learned the lesson. Don't palm. Read everything. But it takes discipline. And you're going to cut out some fun. You see, you can't eat your cake and have it. Do you want first class or you don't want first class? The people who got first class are no more brilliant than you. Generally speaking, if you enter university, you're brilliant. Do you understand? Generally speaking, you know, averagely speaking, if you are, you have the capability. The problem is application and discipline and determination. And I think I did. I know I'm talking about this, but just came out as part of the message. Hallelujah. I started saying it. I didn't know faith. I didn't know Ken Hagee. I didn't know that. I just started saying, you know, I started saying it? Prelim. When I was in prelim, I started saying, "I'm going to have a first class." So I have a first class. I didn't put in Jesus' name, okay? I didn't know Jesus. I just said, "I'll have a first class." I used to say, the people who have first class, they don't have two heads. So if they had first class, there was this guy, Balogun Chike Obi. We all used to fear the boy. He was just 1 year ahead of me. He went to King's College. You know, I went to CMS. So when we got to university, you know, he had become a legend. Because he had 10 A1s. So when I got to UI, my first year, you know, when I was in my prelim year, me and some of my friends, one day we're all walking, I said, that's Chike Obi. I said, he too was laughing. He was coming from, he was in Independence Hall. So he was coming, you know, we're going to serve my friends in Independence Hall. So when he was coming, all of us just moved out of the way for him. He went home, boy. You know, it was healthy. That was the kind of thing that was important on campus in those days. It wasn't who your father was. It was never even talked about. It wasn't how much money you had. It was the guys who were at the head. Say, that's that guy coming. So he too just laughing when he saw us. Well, he knew why we were doing it. He just laughed. You know, he was a nice guy. You know. So the point is this. If you want to do well, it's important to do everything. So it is with the Bible. It's the same mentality I've carried over to the scriptures. You can't palm. Your palmitation will scatter. Satan will bring what you didn't read. That's why you have to read the whole Bible. All scripture, not some scripture. All scripture is given by God and is profitable. That the man of God be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The corollary of that is that without all scripture, the man of God can never be perfect. That's why you have so many imperfect Christians all over the whole place. They want to palm the scriptures. That's why they palm when they come to church. Come this week, don't come next week. Come this week, don't come next week. Then they palm what they listen to. Faith, prosperity, and breakthrough. Holiness, you know, don't mind, Pastor, build that perfection. I don't have time for all of that. You know, so, yeah, he's spamming. So when the exam comes and he brings perfection, he will fail. That's why they are failing. It's a beautiful illustration, but it's the truth. It's the what I've just told is the absolute truth. That is why the Bible says, don't. My beloved brethren, every good gift, this God does not change. So if he does not tempt anybody with evil, he's not going to change tomorrow and start tempting with evil. From whence then does evil come? Because the Bible says, or seems to say, that I create evil. Look at Isaiah 45. I form the light and I create darkness. He's not the same God. The Bible says, don't. That's why the Bible is progressive revelation. Notice James is in the New Testament. This is in the Old. And thank God for E.W. Kenyon. You know, he wrote a book, again, compulsory reading. It's called
the redemption, the Bible in the light of our redemption. So you must read the Old Testament in the light of the New Testament. Otherwise, you will wrest the scriptures to your own destruction. And that's what God has helped me over the years. So I can speak by the mercy and grace with some degree of authority. Now, listen to me. Yes, the Bible says this. But what does it mean by this? Let me give you a very simple illustration of understanding. God makes everything good. But the very fact that something has been created and has come out of the Creator means that there is a potential for that thing to be distorted. What is evil is simply the distortion of good. So when God does anything good, do you understand? If the created beings now don't use the same power and wisdom God used, that same thing that God made good can become evil. So good has intrinsically the potential of evil. It is intrinsic in creation. If God does not create anything, there will be no evil.
Amen.
But once He creates anything, then the capacity, the potential for evil is already there. That's what He means. And to prove it to you, you read another place, it's in Deuteronomy, you know, where the Bible actually says it. You know, God says, if you disobey these laws, I will put all the diseases of Egypt upon you. Deuteronomy chapter 28, you know, further down, you know, the first 14 verses are the blessings. That's where we all. But there are some extra. There's the 15 to 63. That's where the curses are. And the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful. You know, and not bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt. Now, of course, that's not our portion in Jesus' name. But the point is this. What does it mean by God doing that? I'll explain. It's so simple. Then I'll use a Bible example and you will get it. God will remove His hand of protection. Once God removes His hand of protection, and He's, you see, it takes the power of God to sustain good. Let's just use simple physics and chemistry. Sugar is glucose. Well, there's fructose and the different. It's certain carbon and hydrogen, the hydrocarbons, you know, with a few oxygen molecules thrown here and there. There's a particular configuration. You put sugar in your system, it gives you energy, glucose. Take that same sugar molecule, okay? Distort it a little bit. If you have ultraviolet light or lasers, you know, you can knock some of the electrons out, you know, move the thing a little bit, just by mere manipulation. It's one of the things we do in physics and material science, where we try and create, not really create, we try and synthesize, is a better word, you know, novel materials. As part of the research I'm doing at the moment, if I want a material that has very high electrical conductivity, or very high this, or very high that, I tweak the atoms using a computer simulation model to get that particular characteristic I want. Then once I do it on the computer and it works, then I go to the lab and see if it can be synthesized, and then we now manufacture it in large quantities and all of that. So what do you do? You take something like glucose, which is sugar, which is good. You tweak it. Move one electron here. Move one proton here, move this, move that, and what have you got? Arsenic. Arsenic is poison. You eat the same arsenic, kill you. So inside glucose is the potential for arsenic. But when God made man, He didn't make it with any arsenic. He had put those things in a particular configuration. And the Bible says, and God saw what He said, it was good. In whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Then man comes with sin. And the devil. I won't listen to God. I will be like the Most High. But He doesn't have the power to do it. So he now takes over the earth. But the power to sustain things the way the original creator put them, that power is just not there. Because he does... Look, listen folks, Satan is not omnipotent. He's a created being. So what happens? There's distortion. The Bible says the whole creation became distorted. That's why we have the conditions we have in the earth. It's a distortion of the good original God originally made. Because the power, it takes power, I'll talk about that another day. It takes power to keep things in a particular configuration. That is why the second law of thermodynamics in physics says that natural, if you have a closed system, it always tends to more disorder. It has to. That's why, watch this. If you take a glass now and you smash it on the floor and the glass all smashes into billions of bits, you have never seen where all those millions of bits come back together and form the glass. You know what's going to take for that to happen? You need two things. You need power and intelligence. That will now pick each piece of glass, put it back together to recreate it the way it was. So when you have a system where you don't have energy and intelligence entering it, it always tends to disorder. It's a law. The second law of thermodynamics. That is why if you see this natural world that we are seems to be tending towards disorder. That's why you need to pray. For this purpose of the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So when you now put the power of God in, you just reverse that thing. Glory to God. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. You reverse it. Sickness is a distortion of health. Simply a distortion. Put the power of God inside and then we'll come back to its original configuration. That's why it says his word is medicine. 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 To all our flesh. Why are you not putting by your sister? You're not putting enough word. Not putting enough power. So that is just is distorted. Am I talking to anybody here? Yes, now let me give you a good Bible example as I begin to close. Job. That's why it's written. To God, God opened the curtain so we could see behind the scenes of what happened. You see, it wasn't just for Job. He just used that as one example. All our lives are like that. Do you understand? Where does evil come from? When the Bible says, I create evil, what does God mean? It means I just removed the hedge of protection. So the enemy could now come in. That's how God, in quotes, creates evil. So what the Bible has said originally is true. God does not tempt any man with evil. And he is good. And every good and perfect gift comes down from him. And he doesn't change. Evil comes about through the rebellion and the disobedience of created beings distorting the good that God has made. And when we now take a stand of rebellion against God, God leads us to our folly. And then evil now comes. But the good news is if we repent and we go back to him, he will help us. But maybe he likes to leave us so that we actually know that we need him. You know, sometimes we always think, how stupid can we get? Look at Job chapter 1. Oh, Jesus, this is good. I love the Bible. You see that? Can you see now all the illustrations I give why it's important to read the whole book? If you just read this alone, and you read Isaiah 45 alone, you'll be wondering, how can that be possible? The Bible contradicts it. Of course it doesn't. You've not read it properly. All scripture, it will make it clear. That's why the Bible, you have to interpret scripture in the light of scripture. And that's why you have a balance. It's one of the things that God used to help me in scripture pasture, this church. When I started, he said, don't preach topics. Preach the whole Bible. So I preach James, Hebrews, Romans. So it forces me. I can't run away from some scriptures. So it forces me to go and check other scriptures and then find out what God is really saying. So I get the spirit of the scripture and not just the letter of it. Job chapter 1, and look at verse 9. Oh, Jesus. Oh, we're going to continue from here when I finish this by the grace of God. Job chapter 1. Am I helping anybody here? I mean, if this hasn't helped you, I don't know what will. I understand evil and where it comes from. You know how to overcome it. Don't be afraid of evil. I'm not afraid of evil. I'm not afraid of the devil. I know where it's coming from. I know his origin. I know what he, why it is so. And then I also have the God who does not change on my side. Glory be to God. Then Satan answered the Lord. I didn't hear you. Don't be afraid of saying Satan. He can't help you. Just so silly. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" Now, you know the background. Job is a great man. God's blessed him. He's the richest man in the earth at that time. And, you know, so the God now gives us a peek into the spirit realm. And the devil goes to meet God. And then God asks him, he said, "Where are you coming from?" He said, "I'm walking to and fro the whole earth. He's a troublemaker. Looking for trouble." Then God does a very strange thing. Now, you have to understand this. Before I read the rest, it is God who calls Satan's attention to Job. It is not Satan who starts that conversation about Job. It's God. It was not Satan saying, "Hey, you're that Job." You know, he said, "Have you considered my servant Job? A righteous man that fears God and eschews evil." He said, "There is none like him in all the earth." Then this. "Doth Job fear God for naught?" Next verse. "Hast not thou made a hedge about..." Give me this in New King James. New King James. Quick. It's about the same thing, you know. If I want the King James out, New King James. "Have you not made a hedge around him and around his household?" I'm going to preach a message soon. It's called, you know, covering your sphere of influence. But it's not for today. Do you know that you are privileged? If you're a Christian, you can cover not only yourself but your household. Correction, you should. But many times we don't. Hence the message. Covering your sphere of influence. But it's not for today. "And around his household, and around all that he has on every side. And you have blessed the work of his hand and his possessions, and have increased in the land." Next verse. "But now, stretch forth thy hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely..." Lucifer is a bad guy. And he hasn't changed too. Just like God hasn't changed, Satan has not changed. And you know, this same conversation is going on about you in heaven now. Amen. Only Pastor Wega said amen. Oh, so amen. Oh, so amen. The conversation is going on. It has just to do with your affirmation. You are under discussion right now. In heaven. God, the devil, principalities, and powers. And I said, "Have you considered Sarah?" If I use somebody else now, they'll say, "At least this one is my wife." "Have you considered Sarah? I know she loves her. Let's deal with her." Let me correct that. Or let me... "Have you considered Olubi? He's always preaching every Sunday. Talking revelation, all that. Zero sin rate. Emma Dalo. Let's send some of hell's choicest special forces from wicked spirits in the heavenly places and see how far that zero sin rate will go. It's happening all the time. Whether you say amen or not. Next verse. Verse 11. Verse 12. Now, this is a very important verse. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, oh my God, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. That means his physical body. But you can touch his environment and all. So, Satan went out from the presence of God. Let's stop there. Because of time, I just give you the something. All of a sudden, in one day, it will not happen to us in Jesus' name. Amen. But that's why you have to learn how to pray. All this Mickey Mouse praying, all this, you know, you're not doing God a favor. Now, I want you to understand some sequences here. Observe, it is God who calls Satan's attention to Job. Satan now tells God that the only reason why Job is serving him is because everything is going fine. Now, if Job has a few difficulties, the same Job will change his tune and curse God to his face. Now, God says something very interesting. He says, now, everything that he has is in your power. So, who brought the evil? God or the devil? The devil. Permitted by God. But how did he permit him? He just removed the hedge. Recall, Satan said, you've put a hedge around him. So, what actually, the Bible is true. In him, there's no variable hedge. God doesn't do evil. All he just did was just remove the protective hedge. So Satan had access that he didn't have before. But God got something out of him. This is actually done in military something. You know, if in a war, so many times, you will give a concession to the enemy, then they will give you either a prisoner, and then you will give them a prisoner swap. So, Job had been operating in unbelief. He had been sacrificing for his children. You know, instead of teaching them. And it's because, this is, I'm getting ahead of myself now, but because he had a bad wife. All that came out later. That woman did not, you know, it is the woman who is responsible for the children. Especially when they are young. She did not bring those children up properly. So you know what they were doing? Instead of worshipping Jehovah, they were eating and feasting in their brother's house. What come party lunch morning? Kilokon. They were just enjoying. It was the daddy who was doing all the prayer. Now these children were not 17 years old. They were not 18 years old. They were married. They had a house. They had houses. They were all in the house of the senior brother. He wasn't a kid. He was probably in his 40s. By this time, he should have known God the same way his daddy knew God. That is why, you see, Job my homie. Now, so I said, maybe they have cursed God in their heart. Why would you think that about children you have brought up properly? Why will they curse God here? You see, that's why, you see, brethren, that's why you can't read this Bible on the surface. You have to read the whole thing. Then you get the correct picture. Why would Job be thinking his children will curse God in their heart? Because he had not brought them up properly. And the reason is not because Job was not a good man. He didn't have a wife who was cooperating with him. All she was interested in was in Oambe. Fine clothes, fine house, fine children, fine party, fine this, fine that. Because Job was rich. She was not interested in the spiritual. What was in her heart came out under pressure. That was why, watch this, God called Job's attention. Because had Satan seen the loophole himself, without God giving it to him, he would have killed Job. Now you can now understand,
In him there is no very. God is always good. So even calling Satan's attention to Job was the goodness of God.
Give the Lord a clap of. Like Eli and his sons. See, God. God is a good God. So he was able to extract a concession from Lucifer and say, yeah, you can hit him, but don't touch him. Don't kill him. I see God used for Job. Job is not a bad person. It's the wife and the children. May we have wives and children who will do the will of God. Many of you children are enjoying the blessing of your fathers. But when will the God of your father become your own God? He is the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. But is he your God? He is the God of Olubi and Sarah. But is he your God? He is the God of Boega. But is he your God? I'm talking to the children. And my father will pray for him up to a particular point. But the day will come where God is going to require your own faith. See, your father has covered you long enough. When will you come to know me yourself? All of this is in this story. That's why it's a tragic story on one hand, but it's also a story of victory. So that's how the evil came on. So when the Bible says, I create evil, now you understand it. What God does is that he removes the hedge. So when he says, I will put the disease of Egyptians upon you, he just removes the hedge, and then it is Satan, not God, who brings the disease. It was Satan, not God, that killed Job's children, killed his cattle, killed the broadcast. Can you imagine one day, all on the Jariu? First of all the children were in the house. Instead of praying, they should have been in a prayer meeting. They were feasting and drinking. Something came from heaven, you know, the whirlwind, the house just collapsed. All the children just died at once. Bass. It's easy to read. May we never see it. You know, that's why this generation is a spoiled generation. We haven't even seen any. We don't even see one tenth of this and we complain. Then as he was talking, all the cattle. Boom. And if that one was not finished, that person came. Job said, yeah. Today is today. Because and Job cried with a loud voice. You know what the stupid wife said? What was in her heart? You see, so long as everything was going, that's why many times you don't know what's in people's heart. A part of what I'm going to be preaching later today. You don't know what's in it. It's until tribulation comes. And that's why God's going to allow some degree of tribulation to come to the church. Because God wants to remove all the spot, blemishes, and wrinkles. You can hide when things are good, but you cannot hide under pressure. What is inside the heart will come out. Do you still retain your integrity? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Europe, Buruku, Kufe. Hey, the guy is nice. He's got cool hair. She ain't a veggie. Will that work against Satan? Is it the cool hair that's going to work against principalities and powers? May we put our priorities right. Are you listening to me? Because God, he said, do you still? It shows you that woman never knew the God. She never had a personal relationship with God. She was just there for the ride. The bread and fish. And she didn't care. So long as she was getting the jewelry and the cloth
And she's the right wife of the richest man. That's all she wants. Our mama, what's up? Pastor. It's the truth. You want solid people. And that's why you have to pray. 6 months, 1 year. I don't want the parents to say the amen. I want the children to say. I say 6 months and 1 year. So you can see with the eye of the ego. Because only God sees the heart. You don't see all those funny things on the outside. Under pressure, what will come out? Curse God and die? Can you imagine? Does that still retake? Look at even the insolence. The insult. That's why, you know, wives and husbands, I don't say this is a general across the board. You know, mommy said last week that the greatest present you can give her is for husbands to love their wives. You know, and wives to submit to their husband. You know, don't be rude to your husband. Don't be rude to your wife.
Still retain that in church. Groaning. Last scripture. No, yeah. Prayer.
I'm sure some of you have said that before. God got your number this morning. This is the root of evil. God removes the hedge, then Satan can now come and do reckless havoc. That, and you see how Satan said it. He said, touch him. But how did God touch Job? Through Satan. Did you get the sequence? Satan said, touch him! And God said, I've removed the hedge. Everything here is in your power. So you have to understand, that's what the Bible says in, oh my God, this is good. Isaiah 54. I have created the waster to destroy. We'll get to no weapon in a minute. Let's try. I like to meditate in here, Rada. Because know that we want to rush to no weapon. We're going to get to no weapon in a minute. But you see, God is the waster. That this devil that is something. I'm the one who made him. Now, watch this. I didn't make him like that, too. I created him perfect in beauty, full of wisdom. The anointed cherub that covereth, perfect in all his ways, until he chose to start distorting what I made. I'm paraphrasing. Once you disconnect, watch this. Once a created being disconnects with the creator, the power to do good is now disconnected from that creation, and that creation intrinsically becomes evil. It's a law. Lucifer disconnected. He disconnected from God. So the wisdom that he had became corrupted. The power that he had became limited. So he could no longer. Do you know what it takes to maintain this universe? Most of you haven't done physics, you don't know anything. Just look at the sky. And this is, it's in its fallen condition. It's in a distorted condition. Even the earth and all the planets, they're not operating, they're perfect the way God originally made them. There's still some level. But even with that, that's why you have asteroids and comets flying all over the whole place. And sometimes if you're not careful, one can hit the earth. You know, it's Satan. It's a distortion because Satan has limited power. So even though those things are there and they're, you know, if you just move something a little bit, you know, move this a little bit, you know, just a slight distortion, you find Mercury, you know, and some of the planets have been wobble. Nobody understands why. It wasn't made like that. That's why it says, Lemoshela Brakana Funenges. Behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth.
wherein dwelleth righteousness. The present ones, they don't have righteousness inside them. That is why they are going to be destroyed. That's why it says that at the end of time, it says the whole of the elements will melt with fervent heat. It's in Einstein's relativity equations. It's there. Because what's going to happen is if you there's a particular constant, Olejumo, you can make it plus 1, minus 1, greater than 1, or less than 1. If you make it a particular number, I think it's greater than 1, you're going to have what's called a big crunch. That's what the Bible predicts. Then the whole thing where God will take us out, because this is just third heavens. So God will remove us out of this physical realm. Take everybody to heaven. Then he will let the whole thing smash up. Then he will now recreate it back with righteousness, and then he now bring us back. Give the Lord a clap of. Where? And it will be like that forever. Because if you change that constant, if it's less than 1, it's a big freeze. If it's greater than 1, it's going to become a big crunch. If you make it 0, it stays forever. God can just tweak it. See, God knew physics before Einstein. Are you listening to me? Amen. This, I've just told you, is the root of evil. This is how evil comes. It's a distortion of the good that God made by created beings who disconnect from God. Once you disconnect from God, your power level drops. Your wisdom level drops. So you can't handle what God originally made good. So what God became good is the whole creation. You know, it's in Romans chapter 8. It says, the Bible says, I think it's in verse 19. Where it talks about the creation groaning and travailing in birth. There's another scripture that says, it will be made subject to vanity. Give him to me. I'm going to close with that. I got to pick this up next time. You know, this thing is too good. Thank you, darling. The creature, give it to me, New King James. Because it's old English. For the creation was subject to what? Futility. Not willingly, but because of him who had subjected it in hope. That's the devil. You see, Satan thought that's why pride is not a good thing. He thought he could control it. I will be like the Most High. I will do this, I will do that. Just like many of us. Even among pastors and things like that, you know, sometimes you're doing under covering.
Oh, yes, sir.
It's because somebody else is praying and supplying the power. Then you go and preach a fiery message. And you lay hands on the sick and they recover. Then you think it's you. Then you say, I will do my own thing. Then you now move away and then the power is withdrawn. Or it goes down. Then it becomes distorted. The same thing that happened with Lucifer. Thank you, Pastor Wale. Then you now have to mix it with the devil. To try and get the same results. Or correction to get the money. You know, but you know, this is literally what happens when you disconnect with the creation. Then the creation gets subject to futility. So what we see today, oh God help me, on the astronomical level, the planets and the skies and the galaxies. If you take a peek, you see order because the original creation was made in order. Then you see many little distortions. Then look and say, you know, black holes, neutron stars that are sending out ultraviolet waves that are very dangerous, that can kill. If you go near a black hole, it will swallow everything, including light. Highly destructive. How can God do this? Mm-mm. The whole creation was based out of. You come down to the microscopic subatomic level and go into your DNA. It works fine. Boom, 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 boom. Then you start getting older. Error. 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 They don't know why. Error. Then suddenly one cell starts behaving in a funny way, becomes a cancer. the whole of creation subject to vanity. The original power of the Creator that made everything work properly has been degraded through a disconnection from the Creator, through rebellion, pride, and sin. So that's how you now have those distortions. That is why the Bible says, I don't know where I'm going to stop, this thing just flowing. You know, the Bible says that how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. All sickness is satanic oppression due to a disconnect with the Creator. So he doesn't have the power to sustain it. He doesn't. That's why you grow old. You were never created to get old. Adam was never created to die. He was created to be eternal. That is why, medical people will tell you, all the cells of your body change every 7 years. Completely. Every 7 years. The cells that are in your body now, they are dying and they are remultiplying. You have 100 trillion cells inside your body. And they are constantly redividing. Every 7 years, the whole thing, you know, that's the way God created the system. But the problem is, the DNA of many of the cells get distorted, so some of them don't come back to their original form properly, and then they're not functioning properly, and then your eye begins to sag. The hair grows white. This is what happened. It wasn't like that. That's why the man who learns to operate the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus and learns to put enough power in his system can correct those anomalies, and then his youth will be renewed like the eagles. All those funny things that are happening, you can change them. You can change them to the point. That's what's going to be a manifestation of the sons of God. People are going to say, so there are people who can do this. And they're going to come for it. So this is the origin of evil. It comes from, allowed by God, through man's rebellion. Remember, God didn't call Satan's attention to Job just to make Job unhappy. He did it to save him. Job had gotten into a marriage and had a bunch of children who were in total rebellion against God. And it was a loophole that was in his life that would have cost Job his life. To save Job, God called Satan's attention to it, allowed him to go so far, opened Job's eyes. You know, Job himself was good. I'm righteous. I've never done anything wrong. God was looking at him. Then God says, who is this? Who darkens my counsel? Whose words are without knowledge? Where are you coming from? Bulletin board. Do you know who I am? He said, now, put up, God, come on, behave yourself and act like a man. Then he said, I repent. He said, now I know. Then God said, all right. Now, pray for your friends. Forgiveness. Even though the friends were wrong, pray for your friends. Pray for them. He said, then God restored Job everything that he had twice. But why do we have to go through that route? There's no need to go through that route. There's no need. Get it right from the beginning. Don't go through that route. Amen. Do what I said at the beginning. I promise I will close. Amen. Let the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus not only set you free from the law of sin and death, let it keep you free so it prevents it. In Jesus' name. Let us pray. Talk to God. Talk to God.